Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hold your place there for a moment. We are continuing to talk about revival in one way or another. The messages relate to our desire for Christ to be present in a very real way in our midst. Hebrews chapter 13. I want to talk to you this morning about your past and about your present and about your future and about making peace with those things. In Hebrews chapter 13 and one other verse, we're going to just lay a foundation first that's going to seem unrelated to this, but it's so that we have an anchor for the rest of the message, like a lighthouse that's just guiding the whole thing. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says these words, one line: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to read that with me this morning. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now turn with me over to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is speaking here and he says these words, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Underline and remember these words, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This morning I'm going to be talking to you about your past, your present, and your future, but first, let's get this anchor for the Word. Let's unfold this for a moment. I want to talk to you about Jesus, the Eternal One, His eternal nature. Jesus is eternal. What does that mean? What does that word mean? Well, I want to tell you this morning that, first of all, eternal means that He is timeless. That He is timeless. The Lord God exists outside of time and space. What I'm about to say, you've heard me say before, many of you, and our finite minds cannot conceive of it and cannot understand it. Nevertheless, it is true that God is transcendent. That means He exists outside of creation, outside of time and space. He created time and space for the medium or the vehicle by which we take this journey in preparation for eternity. He created time and space, but it's all the same to Him. There is no past for Jesus. There's no present, no future. It's all present to Him. He sees it all in one glance. Jesus is equally, right now, equally present 10 million years ago at your birth, today, and is equally present 10 million years from now in eternity future, because He exists outside of time and space. He is also sovereign. He is in control of all things. He is changeless. He is the one who has just spoken in this word, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. He has always been Almighty. He is Almighty today, and He always will be Almighty God. He is changeless. Therefore, He doesn't have to improve. 10 billion years from now, He will be no more good or no more powerful than He is right now at the present. Because to improve or to increase would suggest that He is not infinitely powerful and infinitely good right now in the present and even in the past. He has always been, is now, and always will be Almighty, infinite God. He will always be filled with all knowledge, all wisdom. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is in all places, and He is all-powerful. He is changeless. And so you can count on Him today, just as you did yesterday. Yesterday He was Almighty. Today He is Almighty. He is sovereign. He is in control of all of history. He is working and in control of all things. And for the believer, for you, He is working for your good. Who was, who is, and who is to come, Almighty God. He was the Almighty in your past, even when you thought He wasn't present. Even when you look back and you can't understand how things could have happened to you that happened to you. Even though Satan may have been running over your life, He was Almighty in the past. He is Almighty in your present right now. And He will be Almighty no matter what the future holds for you. This now begins to prepare us with a foundation for approaching the subject today. So many believers, so many Christians call on the name of Jesus, but they cannot walk in the will of God. They cannot apprehend the will of God. They cannot follow in the ways of God. They can't walk in victory. They can't walk without a life of repeated stumbling and falling. We all stumble and fall. So many Christians can't come to that place of victory and power because of their past, because of their present, and even because of their perception of their future, as you will see in just a moment. They cannot overcome. We're talking about revival, and it may seem that this isn't related to it today, but the Lord, I know, planned this word for today, as you're going to see as we go through it, because you can't have the fire of God and you can't walk the way that God wants you to walk until you have made peace with your past, and until you have made peace with your present, and until you have made peace with your future, whatever it may be, as we're going to see. And many people can't walk in that because they cannot find that abiding peace. Now, I believe, you know, many of you today know the Lord. And it may be that you have found a measure of peace in areas of your life. Thank the Lord for that. But I would be willing to say that most of us have never found the perfect peace of God in every area of our life. So we have some room to grow. Don't turn there, but listen to this passage of Scripture. 1 John 3:21 says this: Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. I want to repeat that. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. How many of you want to walk in faith? You want to have confidence towards God. If you don't have confidence towards God, you're not walking in faith. You walk in some level of doubt, fear, unbelief, whatever it may be. But if our heart condemns us, what does that mean? What does it mean if our heart condemns us? And how does our heart condemn us? Our heart condemns us when there's something there that nags at us. Our heart condemns us when there's something, maybe it's our conscience that's reminding us of something that we've not confessed and not dealt with in our life. But many times our heart condemns us because of Satan's thoughts that he interjects. Our heart condemns us because we feel condemnation because of things in our past, things that we have not overcome, things that still haunt us, that still plague us in our thought life today. If our heart condemns us, we don't have confidence towards God. And if we don't have confidence towards God, we don't walk in faith and we don't walk in power. Let me just turn it around. If our heart does condemn us, we have no confidence towards God. If our heart does condemn us, we have no confidence towards God. How can our heart condemn us? Listen real closely to this. This is foundational. How can our heart condemn us when we have been told in the Word of God these words? There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Sounds too good to be true. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means to have placed your faith, your trust in Him, to be born again, to be that new creation in Christ, that person who believes and is walking with the Lord that we talked about last week when we talked about the assurance of our salvation. How can our heart condemn us when He has said that if we are in Christ, if we're born again, We're washed. We are clean. Listen to this. This is so important. Some of you need this morning. If you have been born again, you're clean.
Amen.
Now, last week I talked about assumption, not because you assume you're a Christian. But if you are a Christian and you've been born again, your sins are washed away.
Amen.
And you are clean. And there's no condemnation. The Lord's not up there wanting to beat up on you. And when you do fail, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, when you do sin, it pricks your conscience. There's a conviction. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. And when you sin, you turn to the Lord and you say, Lord, forgive me, I am sorry. And you repent of that. You turn from it the best of your ability with His help. And you begin to turn, and you're free again. There's no condemnation. Listen closely. If you are in Christ, there is no condemnation.
Amen.
And you all know that, but you're going to see how many of us live under this condemnation. If you're saved, you're clean. Your sins are washed away. And if you sin then, it troubles you, and you repent, and you're clean. You're free. But the enemy is very subtle. The enemy is very subtle, and he wants to use three things to cause you not to have peace with God. And therefore, to be under feelings of condemnation. Your past, your present, and even your future. And what Satan has done is to cause you to not trust the Lord and His mercy and His grace in these areas. Your past, your present, and your future. To not trust His sovereignty and His goodness. And therefore your heart condemns you. And you do not have power. You do not have peace. You do not have victory. And if you allow this, your past, I want you to listen and picture this in your mind. Your past is the thief or the robber of your future. Very real. Your past is the thief, the robber of your future. And the present is just the place where you sit with your hands tied and you watch it all take place and you do nothing. I want you to picture it this way. You're sitting in your house. You're tied to a chair. Your past comes through the window. Take something off the mantelpiece. That's your future. Takes it and removes it, and your hands are bound, and you can't do anything but just watch it. That is what the past does. The past is a thief that robs you of your future that God has for you while you sit by with your hands bound and watch it happen. Not long to be able. This is something only the Spirit of God can do. No words that I could ever preach, no picture that I could ever paint could unfold for you the incredible will of God that He has for your life. I'm not appealing to your human nature. I'm not saying He's like God wants you to be famous, successful, and prosperous. No. I'm telling you God has a will for your life that is better than anything you could ever have planned. But how many ever walk in it? How many ever experience it? Because the past is a thief that robs you of your future. The past robs you, the present frustrates you, and the future perplexes you. For some people, the present grieves them, and the future even frightens them. Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Not that kind of peace do I give to you, but my peace I give to you." Now I want to take you through this real quickly. Number one is concerning your past. Making peace with your past. Turn with me to one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Some of you have heard me comment on it many times. Turn to Philippians. It's after Ephesians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. If you want to really get into some deeper understanding of God's plans for you and what He wants. Read chapter 2 and 3 and think on these things. But Paul says in chapter 3, verse 12, and you'll see His past, His present, and His future all right here. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. How many of you know that God has laid hold of you for something that He's leading you towards?
Yes.
He's laid hold of you, yes, to save you. But it's so much more than that.
Amen.
He's laid hold of you, and there's something that He's calling you towards, that for which He laid hold of you. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Now let's talk about the past. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal, here comes the future, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now listen, it's easy enough to say, forgetting those things behind, I press on. Paul, forgetting those things behind. How many of you think Paul had some memories that he wasn't too proud of? Yeah, we think about the great Apostle Paul. This was truly greatest missionary that's ever lived. Great, great man of God. But just as equally before he was a great man of God, he was a great enemy of God. And he describes his own life. He talks about on the road to Damascus, when the Lord got hold of him, when he saw that blinding light and he was converted, and the Lord told him what he was going to do. And he told the Lord, he said, but Lord, you know what I was like. Lord, you know, I was persecuting the church. I dragged people out of their homes to their deaths, to take them to prison and even to their deaths. And then he said these words to the Lord. Listen closely. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, you remember martyr? You remember Stephen? And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I was also standing by, consenting to his death. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, standing there being stoned, and the windows of heaven opened, he saw Christ, and Christ, who is always pictured as seated on the throne of God, stands in honor, I believe, of this first martyr. He said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And here is Saul, who became Paul, a young man over here in opposition to God. In opposition to Jesus Christ. But Paul said, forgetting those things behind, I press on. And toward the end of his life, we find him on his last trip to Ephesus. When he tells them that he is going, he knows that he's headed for chains, for tribulation. And how he has taught them, he said, I am innocent of the blood of all men. Do you realize how amazing this is? I am innocent of the blood of all men. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what struggles he had in his thought life. But I will tell you this. No man can say, I am innocent. I am innocent. Unless he's made peace with his past. Peace with his past. So that he can press on. Years later, toward the end of his life, also Paul said, and now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. I'm ready to be poured out like a drink offering. He knew that the end was near. The Word of God's filled with this. Moses had a past. Moses was a murderer. David, adulterer and murderer, and yet he's still described as a man after God's own heart. Probably the most beloved words other than the Word of God. Lyrics that were ever penned. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton was 11 years old. when he went to sea with his father. His father was the captain of a merchant ship. He spent his youth at sea learning the ways of sailors, and in his own words, he was vile, he was filthy, he was as big a sinner as any man that ever lived. When he was a young adult, he was called into duty with the British Navy, and he worked on a man of war ship for England. Later, he became captain of his own slave ship, where he hauled slaves from their homes to places where they would be purchased. And you've all seen pictures or movies or descriptions of what those slave ships were like and what the conditions were like for those people. John Newton despised the Word of God, despised the people of God, wanted nothing to do with any of it. Until he was crossing the ocean in the middle of the night in one of the worst storms he had ever seen. And he says that as he was steering the ship, he despaired. And he cried out, "Oh Lord, help us." And they were saved. They made it safely through the storm. And this began to weigh on him. He realized that he had cried out to a God that he had despised, and that God had answered. And he wrote those words. That was his conversion. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." You think John Newton maybe laid in bed at night sometimes and was plagued with thoughts of all those wrong things that he did and those slaves that he mistreated and the horrors of his early life? I'm certain that there were times that weighed on him. But this man went on to serve God. He wrote many hymns. He worked. He served the Lord in ministry, and also was instrumental in part in the overturning of slavery. Let me just tell you something. This man could not have gone on, could not have written that song, could not have lived the life he lived if he'd not been given peace concerning his past. And there are Christians every day in the church that are just haunted and nagged, and there are things from their past that they went to the altar 15 years ago and asked God to forgive them, and it still bothers them and it keeps them bound up, and the past robs them of their future. They can't go forward with God because of the things of the past. Beloved, there's a multitude of things. There are a multitude of things that haunt people because of their past. Sorrows, griefs, regrets, guilt. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Unless you make peace with it," we'll come back to it, "but unless you make peace with it, you won't have the fire of Christ burning in you like you want. You won't go forward with the future that God has planned for you." Jesus came that we might be free. Concerning your present, the Apostle Paul said these words. He said, "I have learned whether whatever state I am in, whether lacking or abundance, to be content." I've learned whatever state I am in to be content. And from that Roman prison cell, he gave us probably half of our New Testament, the letters that he wrote. You remember the story of Jacob and Esau? Jacob cheated Esau, wanted that birthright. He took that birthright. Esau was ready to kill him. Rebekah sent him away to Haran, to his uncle Laban's home. I want you to think about Jacob for a moment. Put yourself in his shoes, because most of Jacob's life, Jacob had things from his past that he had a hard time dealing with, and it affected his present. Listen to me. Your past affects your present. Especially when you've not made peace with your past. Put yourself in Jacob's shoes for a few moments. Some of you will identify with this. Broken family life. Family life full of conflict. A past filled with pain. An escape from Esau, who would kill him if he could. Basically, Jacob is exiled from his own home. In the place of exile, he is married. He marries, even under difficult circumstances, he marries Leah because he's been deceived by the father-in-law. Then he marries Rachel. Has to work a total of 14 years for these girls. But Jacob is a man that he has to make peace with his present. It was not a fun place. It was not a good place to be exiled from home, have painful memories of the past, to be working for a father-in-law who's a cheat. But in that place, Jacob became prosperous. God blessed him. He grew. He heard the voice of God. And in that place, listen to what I'm saying, God took him because he met God in the present, in that place, made peace with those things to the degree that God could prepare him and then move him into the next part of his life, his own future, what God had designed and prepared for Jacob. Joseph is the same thing. Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers. You think you have a hard time forgiving. Maybe you have one sibling and it's a painful experience to deal with, or one family member that's hurt you, or you've been wounded, or whatever these things may be. Imagine 10 brothers sell you into slavery. You end up in slavery in Egypt, and then worse than that, you're framed in Egypt and end up in a prison cell. But we find in Joseph, not one time is he angry that he shows it. Not one time is he apparently not dealing with it. We don't find where he is bitter because of his past. He's not even bitter because of his present state when he's in prison. Everywhere that he finds himself, he sees that God is in control. God is sovereign. He is Almighty God, past, present, and future. He was Almighty God when he gave Joseph the dream as a young man. He is Almighty God in the prison cell with Joseph, and he will be Almighty God in the future when he raises Joseph to be second in command of all of Egypt. Jacob makes peace with his present, and he puts himself to the task of honoring God right where he is, so that God can use him and God can lift him out of that place. Some of you want to stay stuck where you are. And God says, no, I have a future for you and a hope. I have good plans for you. But you must make peace with your past. And you must make peace with your present. Could I say to you this morning that I wanted to say no one's present, but I'm going to say rarely just to be safe. Rarely is anyone's present state everything that they want it to be. And everything they dreamed it would be. And everything that they planned for it to be. It's just not the case. And your present state is often the repercussion of your past state. And the question is whether you can trust God. Can you trust God with it? Can you trust God with your present? Can you forget those things behind, trust God in the present, and look forward to His plan for the future? And sometimes it's a long, long time. And sometimes life can seem really, really unfair. And things can be very, very, very painful. William Carey, one of my favorite missionaries of the past, William Carey, this great man of God, took the Word of God to India at a time when in England no churches sent missionaries. It was a time when just their theology was so messed up that all of the church leaders said, if God wants to save the heathen, He'll do it somehow. You don't need to go. And they opposed him when he said, God's calling me to take His Word to India. Not only that, his wife was not in good emotional health. And when he told her that God was calling them to India, she refused. She resisted. She says, no. She said, and she just wept and cried and was afraid and said, I can't do this. And she was angry. And he kept insisting and persisting and saying, this is God's will. I must go to India. She had a sister that she was very close to. And so at the last moment, the sister said, I'll go with the two of you and your family. I will go in order to be a comfort for my sister so that she can go with her husband. So they went to India. And in India, things soon turned really, really bad for William Carey's wife. Her emotional health got worse and she was soon given to total just emotional breakdowns, nervous breakdowns. And she would sit in the corner for days and days and just stare, not eat, be unresponsive. She was suicidal. Eventually, they lost a child. That completely sent her over the edge. The sister got married in India to another missionary and left and went on. William Carey spent his life ministering. He translated the Bible into the Indian language for the first time. He ministered all over India. He suffered attacks. People burned his printing presses and his shop. And every day he had to run home and look after a wife that was basically an invalid and who had lost her mind. But somehow in all of that, he looked at his present. And he made peace with it. He didn't let it rob him of the call of God. He followed what God called him to do. And that man transformed. As a result of that, millions of lives have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Great man of God. You say, well, how do you make peace with your future? What does that mean? How does this apply? Well, first of all, I want you to remember these words. Jeremiah 29:11 says, this is God speaking, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. It may not be the future or the hope that you dreamed of, but I can tell you that in eternity, God has the best future for you. You must make peace as a believer with your future being unknown and being in God's hands. Listen, I know because I'm as big a dreamer as anyone who has ever lived. None of you knew me as a young man. Most of us spend a lot of our years dreaming about and planning for a certain future. And there's nothing wrong with planning, but the Christian seeks the mind of Christ. But we plan for the future. There's nothing wrong with having dreams. But you must make peace with the fact that the future is uncertain. And by uncertain, I don't mean your salvation is uncertain. I don't mean that your eternity is uncertain or that it's uncertain with God. But how many of you know you are a pilgrim? We are pilgrims in this life. We are only passing through. And your future on this earth is uncertain. You don't know all of it yet. I have known just a few people that God, in ministry, that the Lord gave them a vision and showed them their whole future. And it came to pass the way that God said it. But most of us, the Lord leads step by step. He takes us, if he showed us everything the future was going to hold, we'd be so afraid probably that we wouldn't move. Because the future is filled with good things and hard things. But He takes us one step at a time so that He can strengthen us, keep us close to Him in order to carry us through on this journey. You have to make peace with placing your future in God's hands and trusting Him. We have hopes and plans, but ultimately, we are passing through. Sometimes God tells us things we don't want to hear. The Lord told Paul and Peter, you're going to suffer for my sake. You're going to be persecuted. and they knew that they were going to die a martyr's death. I don't see Peter going to the psychiatrist. Oh, how am I going to handle this? I've just shut down. I have just shut down. No. I see Peter making peace with his future. Because he's already made peace with his past and his present, he's made peace with his future. And he says, okay, if my future is like that, then every day I'm going to live ablaze for God and I'm going to do what He has called me to do. Yeah. Whatever His calling is for you, whatever His plans are for you, He steers the ship. And all things are in His timing and under His control, and He is wanting you to trust Him. Look in faith, ask Him all the questions you want, but trust Him to steer the ship. So with all three of these things now, this morning let me ask you, what's God saying to you concerning your past? How many of you know you can't change it? Sometimes we dwell on it. We wish we could go back and do this differently. We can't change it. It's wasted time even thinking about it. You can't change it. Many things you cannot make right if you live to be 100 years old. You can't make it right. How many of you have done things you wish you could go back and make right? Amen. You can't. You can't make them right. Jesus has already borne that for you on the cross. But you can't make it right. There are some things that you can make right. And that is this, that you must forgive. You must walk in forgiveness for things that were done to you in the past, things that hurt you, that wounded you. And there is something that people rarely talk about today. It's the Word of God's full of it. If you did something that you can put right, it's called restitution. If you stole, you pay it back after you become a believer. If it's something that you did, you are forgiven. But God calls you to a higher standard. And if there's anything that you can do to make something right, you do it. But those things that you can't change, Paul said, forgetting those things behind, I press on. Ask the Lord to free you from the past and move forward. If your heart condemns you, is it God? Not if you're walking with the Lord. If your heart is condemning you about the past, it is Satan trying to keep you fixated on that thing. Have you hurt people through words or deeds? Have you broken God's commandments in the past? Listen to this. You only have to lay it on the altar one time. One time you go to the cross, you go to Jesus one time, and you say, Lord, forgive me for that. And He washes it away far as the east is from the west, never to remember it anymore. You go picking it up again, and you are taking away from the fullness of Christ's sacrifice. He says, let it go. Let it go. Forgetting those things behind. He who was Almighty. He was there when you did it. And He knew that you'd be sitting here this morning. He knew that if you're a believer, He knew. He already saw you coming to Him for forgiveness. He was Almighty then. He has kept His hand on you. He's Almighty right now. He's able to carry you through. He's Almighty in your future. Amen. Your present. Are your circumstances difficult? Maybe not what you planned. You don't have to answer that out loud, because most of you in this room would say, they're not what I planned. Do you feel trapped? Like Joseph in prison? Is there some painful aspect of your life that is there every single day that nags at you? Is there someone in your life that wrongs you continually? Do you have a difficult trial that causes you great stress? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, the Word says, and He will lift you up. Put your eyes upon the Lord. Trust Him with your present. Obey Him in the present. Whatever is happening in the present, go to the Word of God. Find out what He's calling you to do. Make peace with your present. In other words, you can't change some things about your present. Some things you certainly can't change and still honor the Lord. And so you were where God knew that you would be here 20 years ago. He knew where you would be, what your circumstances would be today. And now there is a test for you. Will you honor God? Will you make peace with where you are and not gripe and complain and murmur about it, but say, God, help me to honor you in this place so that like Jacob, He can prepare you for the next part, for your future. And speaking of your future, are you worried about tomorrow? Are you worried about tomorrow? Does fear and stress about the things of tomorrow, does it steal your health and your peace of mind? Do you feel that your time is passing by? Are you driven today to overcome because of some guilt of yesterday? Do you understand how many Christians, how many people, because of what their past was, they are driven to overcome it. Driven to overcome it. I'll just give you some examples. There are people that grew up in poverty, so they are driven to have everything they possibly can for fear of being where they were when they grew up. There are people who sinned greatly in their past and their reputation was ruined. And so as a Christian, they are driven to try to be somebody with a name, to try to have a name and to be somebody. Let me tell you one thing. That's not how you live for the Lord. You don't have to make up for the past. He already did it for you. You don't live your life driven in order to make up for deficiencies of the past. You rest in Christ. Let Him unfold the glorious future that He has for you. He is almighty in the present. He is almighty in your future. He is able to carry you there. You are free in Christ. You don't do works to make up for yesterday's sins and failures. And in closing, if you'll allow me just a little liberty here. Jesus on the cross of Calvary, because you may think, well, Jesus really doesn't understand. He didn't have to make peace with past, present, or future. Beloved, let me tell you one thing. When He hung on that cross and He became guilty, He became sin of every sin from Adam until He comes again in the future. All of that sin was heaped upon Him. He knew what you've experienced. He knew the pain. He knew the guilt. He knew all of it. But He trusted the Father. Amen. He didn't cave under it. He trusted the Father, and praise God, He had the power to lay His life down and raise it up again to show us that we too shall live. Yes. Next week, we'll be talking about that. Amen. Make peace with your past. Some of you are suffering spiritually because of it. Maybe you're angry because you got the short end of the stick growing up. You're angry because you were abused. You're hurt. You're fearful because of all kinds of different things. And so you're present. You're acting. You keep doing things and treating people in ways that are a response to the way that you were treated in your past. Because you've not made peace with that. Let God use it as a stepping stone for His glory in your life. And walk away from it. Walk in freedom from it. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you want to be able to go forward with God, you've got to forget those things behind and press on. And you've got to make peace with your current situation. Ask God to be glorified in it. And you've got to trust Him with tomorrow. Amen. Let's stand.